The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune into Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, wherever you are. And, you know, it's a Wednesday of the 11th of March, 2026. We are moving deep into the year. And it's always very important to stop a little bit and also look where you come from and where you are going. Understand that in few days time, Namibia is going to be 36 years old. And from there, we are no more a youth. We are no more a youthful country in terms of age. And if you have to personify the country from 1990 to where we are. And it's also important to look at what you have achieved so far. What are some of the things that you can really say? This one, I'm very happy about them. This one, my country should be praised about. And this one, we need to look at them more, or we need to expand more when it comes to that. So, wherever you are, we are greeting the economic movers. We are greeting those who protect the Namibian economy, the security guards, police officers, the soldiers, those who protect us while we are sleeping. Greeting our leaders from all levels, and also the policymakers, because you know, we cannot move forward if we do not have all of us cooperating and working together for the greater good of everybody. You know, there is a lot of things happening around the world, and one at the center of that is war in the Middle East, and that should not be ignored. And it's always important for you to look, listen, understand what is going on. What are some of the major development? What is the possibility of solution to that global challenge that will definitely affect everybody? And there is a lot of players involved in that aspect. However, today we'll be able also to look at the impact of that. But the main conversation for today, we are going to, especially from the hour of 7, we are going to look at the contribution of youth parliamentarians, particularly to the National Appropriation Bill, which was tabled to Parliament at the end of February by Meme Erika Shafuda, the Minister of Finance. And, you know, the question that we are going to ask is that the young people that we have been together in the trenches, when they get to Parliament, what content are we agreeing on one thing, or we are disagreeing all over? And what is that they are focusing on, particularly when it's coming to the contribution to the appropriation bill? It's a debate, it's the views, and it's also necessary to understand that where is that context and also content that is related to the youthfulness. Because there was a situation, I think it's is it 2023, if I'm not mistaken, when you know, young people, they rose on social media and said, no, we send you to Parliament, but don't debate about marriage. We know we are getting there, but let us talk about the main issue that are affecting young people. And there was few young people who were in that context of debating about marriage. We know it's a policy, but is that really a priority? You are supposed to be central when it comes to youth affairs. We are supposed to be central when it comes to what affects your constituents, because the youth constituency in Namibia, like in Africa, it's more than 69%, which means that majority of the population that we have in Namibia and also in Africa at large is the youth population. However, challenges are unending. And today, from the hour 7, we're going to look at the contribution of young people from various political parties. What is their contribution speech? We're going to look at the speech of Ina Hengali from PDM. We are also going to look at the speech of Michael Mwashindange from IPC. And we are also going to look at the speech of the youngest parliamentarian, that is Feni Tuchavi. What are they saying? What are they saying about young people? And also, what is their position regardless of the difference in political parties, what is their position when it comes to the budget appropriation? Are they agreeing on everything? Do they give contribution recommendation? And are we together with all the youth constituency in Namibia, where we are speaking different things? And that is the content. And also to see where are we going, particularly from that side of the August House. And it's a very important house that is central not only to national development but to the functionality and operationalization of the state. And state machinery cannot operate without the effective parliament, but that should be a debate that should be also expanded. And also the contribution to say any parliamentarian that you see from any political parties. And I'm always advising young people to see, if you see a young person, that is somebody maybe who will be able to assist you, or somebody who maybe will be able to understand your pain, go to that person, give your contribution. That of which you are indicating will be addressed through parliament. And the question is that after addressing, after communication, what will be action be taken? Because one thing to speak about something, and it's also the other thing also to find real solutions, practical solutions about that situation. And just before we go to that, let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. What is happening in the continent of Africa? It was indicated. It was indicated that the United States Embassy in Nigeria has issued a security order, warning of possible terrorist threat targeting U.S. government facilities and also Americans affiliated schools in the country. And the advisory released yesterday, the embassy urged U.S. citizens in Nigeria to remain vigilant and take precautionary measures. This include keeping mobile phone charged in case of emergency, and also familiarize themselves with emergency exit entering public building. Despite warning, the embassy said consular service will continue as normal and its mission in Abuja and also in Lagos will continue. And there's a statement, especially when it comes to U.S. Security alter. And looking at this, one who also really indicating that the war in the Middle East really did not only disrupt the Iranian, it also disrupt the ordinary American citizens. Nobody have prepared for this, and they find themselves in danger. That's why we are always indicating that the decision that national politicians are making, they can only be positive and also can also be negative. And you must be able to understand that whatever is happening at the political front has a direct impact on the human interactions. That's why you find individuals, some of them, maybe they are just at work or maybe they are just students. But due to political decision, people end up hating you because of the decision of your country. And also ask yourself, how many people become casualties or become casualties of political decisions? You look at Iraqi war, you look at Libyan war, you look at 9/11, then you ask yourself to say, those ordinary U.S. citizens who died in 9/11, is it really that they were contributing to ongoing conflict between their state and terrorism? And it's really, concerning, particularly when some people, they end up become refugees, not because of their intention, but due to political decision. That's why there is always a saying to say political leaders must be cautious and must be able to understand that the decision that they are making, the declaration of war, the political and economic decision, the policy that they are proposing should not be just a personal interest, but should also be something that is really, put the nation at heart. Because a lot of people, they suffered. People lost their life because of political decisions. And out of, and if you just have to think this way, to say out of 9,000 US citizen that left the Middle East without, you know, being prepared to leave. Was it really their intention? Was it really their intention to leave that? Are they really sharing the common principles of where their state are standing? And also out of all those and children that died in Iran, if you have to ask yourself that question, did they really contribute anything to their casualty? Those are political decisions. That's why there is always a saying to say, when it comes to politics, when it comes to decision made by politicians, there must always be citizen at heart. Now it's in Nigeria, and they're looking at the trend. I was speaking about this yesterday at Business and Economic segment to say the terrorism in Nigeria have just increased. They've just increased. And the jihadists now are attacking military bases. They are attacking, even police stations are even nothing in Nigeria now. They are coming in motorbikes and they are taking equipment. And you're asking yourself to say, where is the world going? And what could be a better solution to solve such problem? And that has been what was indicated. That has been an indication. But what is very clear, what is very clear is that Nigeria stability, particularly the northern part of the country, there is no stability there. There's no stability, and the jihadists are in charge. The jihadists are attacking police. They're attacking the military. They are even taking over bases, and should really be a concern of every African. And yeah, while we are there, so that, you know, the residents of Ethiopia in Tigray region start to flee amid fears of a renewed civil war. And it really should be a concern to say at the headquarters of the African Union, in the Horn of Africa, you want to understand that fight, conflict is... conflict is it's already erupting. It's just less than 4 years after the peace agreement ended the civil war in Ethiopia, in Tigray region. Conflict is already looming once again, and civilians are starting, you know, to flee the region, and are not waiting for the fighting to start. They are already starting to flee, and that is in Ethiopia. We are speaking about the headquarters of the African Union. The headquarter of Africa. Ethiopia is a country that was never colonized. It's a country that defeated their, I don't know if you say the aspiring colonizers by then, but they defeated Italy in the 1800s and they were never colonized. But after all those years, then you start to understand that conflict is now internal. It's now internal. And there have been a lot of challenges, especially with the current prime minister and also his administration, plus also those who are also trying to take over regions such as Tigray region. And Ethiopia, with their neighbors, they have not been really in good terms. We speak about Eritrea. We speak about... if you speak about Eritrea, you can also speak about Egypt. Realize to say there is quite tensions out there, especially when Ethiopia was saying you, Eritrea, you were supporting these rebels, or you were supporting these terrorists that are fighting me. And the question should always be to say, what is this going to do, especially to where we want to get in as Africa? Through the African Continental Free Trade Area, because first you need to silence the gun before you start selling. You need to silence the gun before you start innovation. You need to silence the gun before before you start expanding. And coming to the sector of oil. It was stated that Aliko Dangote, one of the richest men in Africa, indicated that he is going to prioritize domestic fuel market. Nigerian richest men, or the African richest men, in the indicated that he is going to prioritize domestic fuel market, particularly when it comes to Nigeria Dangote Mega Refinery, which indicated on Monday that it's going to prevent fuel shortage and limit the impact of price increment due to war in the Middle East. And those are the things that we've been speaking about, to say in the time of need. Dangote indicated that he's not going to focus on just trading external, but he's going to make sure that Nigeria also has oil, especially when the demand is going to increase, or is already increasing. And one may be wondering, where is Egypt going? Because if you look at the price of oil in Egypt, you will be shocked. You will be shocked because, of the war in the Middle East. But Aliko Dangote indicated that no, this time I'm not only going to focus on money, but I'm also going to focus on price stabilization, because Nigeria has oil reserves. It has also oil refineries. It's the biggest refinery in the continent by Aliko Dangote. And he has indicated that it's no more about money, but it's also about national survival. That's why he indicated that when it comes to the trade of oil, he's going to prioritize Nigeria first before, looking at the world. And he indicated that Nigeria will continue to enjoy supply security and refinery. Nigeria will continue to enjoy supply security. And that was indicated by Aliko Dangote's, executive, one of the executive within Aliko Dangote group of company, that is David Bed, who indicated that regardless of the challenges in the Middle East, they will make sure that Nigeria is prioritized. Everybody still waiting to see what Angola is going to say, what Sudan is going to say, and what Libya is going to say. And we must really be concerned when it comes to the oil in Libya. Who is really in charge of oil in Libya? And are they able to maintain the oil price, because they can subsidize with their reserves? Or there is somebody who is in charge? Look at Libya. Look at companies that are in charge of oil in Libya. And also look at the price of oil. And also look at neighboring countries, or countries that are nearby, such as Egypt. Where is Egypt going to buy oil from, as the price has already increased? And how is this going to affect the trade of oil in the continent of Africa? And countries such as Angola, they are lucky. Regardless of them also having international companies that are involved in the business of oil, it's undeniable that when it comes to oil security, they will be one of the safest countries, and maybe their market will be stabilized for a very long time before impacted by a long-term impact of Middle East conflict. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll continue with the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, it's 26 minutes past the hour of six, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombeye. We are here until the hour of 8, and do not forget that the Villager newspaper for Wednesday is out, and you'll be able to get your content and context of what is happening in the economy, in terms of policy making, in terms of developmental affairs, in terms of continental affairs, and also in terms of investment, either it's domestic investment or foreign direct investment. And look at the way the world is going, because it's the right time not to be ignorant. It's the right time to be watchful, because opportunities can be able to come anytime. And also you can only get that if you listen, if you read, if you'll be able also to follow, and also focus on verified content-based information. Do not just follow any information. That's why it's always important to make sure that whatever you read, you verify, you analyze, and you look at those information with, scrutiny and cautious too, because there is nothing dangerous than feeding your mind with wrong information, because the way you interpret them and also the way you engage in the society will also show a different approach compared to where the world is going. So that's why look at those information and clearly. That's why we are always indicating to say, read the Villager newspaper, subscribe, like, and share, so that you will not be able to miss out. Yeah, looking again in Africa, it is stated that South Sudan, which has been declared a worst humanitarian crisis by United Nations Secretary General, stated that UN officials there are concerned over human rights violation, especially in South Sudan. As accounts of human rights violations in South Sudan pile up, the spokesperson of UN High Commissioner has indicated the concern, especially when it's come to violation of human rights in that oil-rich country. In the past 17 days, more than 160 civilians have been killed, at least 139 of them by fighters from Bulnia ethnic group in Abiamon locality. And in that aspect, it's a concern. Civilians were killed by also also stated that on the 21st of February 2021, civilians were also killed by government forces in Paco Village in Ayodhya County. And it's really a concern, because if this is a report coming from UN which is indicated that the soldiers lured these civilians into a gathering at one place, promising them food aid, then opened fire on them. And UN also indicated that 15 women and 3 girls.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn-out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
ShopRite's price round down is here for 1 week only, where saving is winning. Save up to 40% on homeware, small appliances, outdoor and groceries. Like 24-litre Essentials mini oven, only 900 Namibian dollars. And 470ml freehand coloured base, can-shaped glass, for only 15 Namibian dollars each. Offers valid until 15 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's really a concern, especially in South Sudan, when it's not only the fighters of, it's not only the militia, but you also have reports from UN where even government forces are killing civilians. Should really be a concern. And that is from the report coming from, coming from South Sudan. And, you know, people are following, Madranga Commission and, also Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee of South Africa, where, they are about to conclude. But, it is interesting to see, especially when it comes to criminalization of the state, and also a lesson to learn. Because when things are happening in other countries, we must also be able to look and learn to say, if we are saying we are interlinked to South Africa, what is it that going to differentiate us from South Africa? If South Africa can be able to infiltrate their own judicial system to that extent that even brigadiers and colonels in the police, they end up also dating top criminals, and you are really concerned about what is happening. And I just don't know that, what kind of system is this. But let's see, let's wait how this investigation going to be concluded, and how the president is going to make a decision. And you know, Cyril Ramaphosa, it's one of the president that you know, faced with a lot of challenges, but when you are looking at him, it's like nothing is happening. It's one of the smiley, calm guy that you can ever see. But behind that is dealing with a lot of challenges. And some people are saying that is also a definition of a leader, to say troubles may come. But if you are showing that you are demoralized, the whole country will also be demoralized. I was looking at the book that spoke about Emmerson Mnangagwa, In the Jaws of a Crocodile. It's an interesting book to read. And also looking at some of the leaders, we are just looking at them wearing suits, but they went through a lot of trouble. They went through a lot of challenges. But it also says a lot about personalities and qualities of leadership also, to say troubles may come, but if you fall first, the whole nation will fall. That's why there is always one or two lessons to learn, to say after all this, when the kingdom is burning, the kingdom is collapsing or thriving, the guy is just the same, and continue moving. But there is a lot to learn, especially from Cyril. But the question should be in the future, to say who is going to be the next the next president of South Africa, we must also be concerned, because the ideology, the understanding, the political direction and the economic direction depends on the head of state too, especially moving forward. I see the other time, Gwene Matashe was together with Patrice Motsepe and also with Fikile Mbalula, aka Bawizi or Bucks. They are saying those are main contenders, but they are also saying you should not underestimate Paul Mashatile, who is the deputy president of South Africa. But a lot of things to happen. And when is Malema going to reach his dream? When is Malema going to reach his dream? Or is it African politics with their own characteristics? But we are yet to see. We are yet to see what will happen. Particularly when ANC is also faced with the Congress. And do not forget that the Congress of ANC and the Congress of Swapo Party, they always follow each other. And even the timing of elections, they always follow each other. But watch the development, because what is happening on the political front will have a direct impact on the way we deal with bread and butter, and how we deal with bread and butter at home. So let's go to a short commercial break, then we'll look at the conversation for today, and we can also be able to expand, particularly from the hour of 7 there, where we'll be able also to look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. What do we have in the Villager newspaper for today? And you can be able to engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401. After a very short commercial break, we'll be able to listen to our young parliamentarians to say what are they saying, what are they contributing to the national appropriation budget bill. Because, as I indicated, it's not a budget yet. It's a budget proposal until it's approved by Parliament, until it's refined. That is how it stands. But it's always good to get the voice of young people, because these are the people that, you know, before Parliament, they walk in the same street. Before Parliament, they understand the same situation. Before Parliament, some of them, they go to the same college, they go to the same university, go to the same vocational training, but due to politics, they are elevated to represent the constituency of young people. And one thing that young people should also not forget is that the politics may change, the flanks may change, but the situation and the conditions of young people in Namibia continue to be the same. The politics can be different, but the pain of young people in Namibia continue to be the same. The challenges of youth businesses continue to be the same. The challenges of youth unemployment continue to be the same. The challenges of youth prioritization continue to be the same. And many other things. That's why we are always happy to listen from the conversation and contribution of young people. And also to indicate, to say, leave the elders, the things for elders, to elders, and deal with our own issue. I know and we understand you are national leaders. If it's about marriage debate, leave them to those who are at that level, although we are also coming there. We are not saying you should not contribute, but prioritization. If you look at, it is interesting, if you look at the manifestos of the political parties in Namibia, take AR manifesto, take PDM manifesto, take IPC manifesto, take Swapo Party manifesto, take NUDO, and other political parties. And you also have those who do not have established, take LPM, you know, manifesto. Compare them. Then you understand that the challenges are still standing the same, but the formula may differ. But if you have to put them in one scale and take one tool of analysis and look at what is the commonalities of these manifestos, you come to the point of saying, all these guys are not happy with youth unemployment. All these guys are not happy with the issue of housing in Namibia. All these guys are not happy with the issue of energy in Namibia. All these guys are not happy with issues of corruption. But when it comes to the politics, things start becoming different. But let's wait and listen to what they have to say. And for today, we'll be listening to Ina Hengari, especially his contribution to Parliament, and also Michael Mwashindange from IPC, and Feni Tuchavi from SWAPO Party. And look at where they meet, and also where they differ, and what is one thing that we can take from that conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, let us listen to the contribution of youth into parliamentary affairs, particularly when it comes to national budget.
And she has the floor, so your name will appear now at the bottom of the list. No, it did not appear here. The one who was having the floor is Honorable Hangura. No, I will not agree, Honorable Hangura. I will not give you the floor. Honorable, please proceed. No, Honorable Members, we can't do that. That's not our system. That is not our system, Honorable Members. It is not our system. It doesn't work like that. You don't have the floor, Honorable Hangura. Yeah, no, you don't have the floor. I give the floor to Honorable Hengari.
Yes, Speaker, if you can just... I seek your indulgence on this very important issue, Speaker. I'm ready to contribute, but I'm wondering what harm will it do if we allow members to do that which they are saying.
I have made a ruling already on that one, Honorable Member.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Speaker.
No, not guaranteed, not granted. Proceed, Honorable Member.
Honorable Speaker, Honorable Members, fellow Namibians who follow these proceedings with justified concern, I rise today to contribute to this important debate on the Appropriation Bill for the Fiscal Year 2026-27 presented under the theme People, Productivity and Prudence. The theme, Honorable Speaker, is carefully chosen and sounds reassuring on paper, yet the fiscal reality it confronts is far more troubling. An economy decelerating, revenue softening and debt cost spiraling, expenditure locked into patterns that prioritize consumption over the investments needed for genuine lasting progress.
Honorable Speaker, you can't do that. Please take your seat. Yeah, please let's go.
Let us begin with the macroeconomic context, because no budget can be evaluated in isolation. The downward revision of real GDP growth to 3.1% from the 3.6% projected in the mid-year budget review is not a minor technical correction. It reflects a deeper slowdown that shrinks the fiscal envelope and reduces our room to respond to shocks. Our economy is caught in a difficult transition. Primary industries, long the acre of export earnings and government revenue, have slumped to near stagnation at 0.2% growth. The diamond sector remains subdued, while gold operations undergo the costly and disruptive shift to underground mining. Secondary industries, manufacturing and construction, have weakened to 2.8%, signaling softer domestic demand and investment. Only the tertiary sector, driven by wholesale, retail and transport, offers limited resilience at 3.8%. These sectoral imbalances, Honourable Speaker, are not occurring in a vacuum. Geopolitical trade frictions continue to disrupt global commodity markets, while climate volatility, droughts, erratic rainfall and heat stress repeatedly hit agriculture and rural livelihoods. The combined effect is a fragile base from which to fund ambitious social objectives. When growth falters, right Honourable Prime Minister, revenue follows and the margin for error disappears. The budget has been described as a social budget, and it does contain meaningful allocations in priority areas, education and innovation, arts and culture, including targeted funding to reduce food congestion at 2.8 billion in tertiary subsidies. Health and social services allocated 13.1 billion with 259 million for urgent professional recruitment and a medium-term commitment of 38.5 billion toward hospital infrastructure. Social welfare sees a 447 million injection to support a $100 monthly increase in old age pensions. These figures, Honourable Speaker, address genuine human needs. Overcrowded classrooms that hinder learning, understaffed clinics that compromise care, and pensioners struggling against inflation. No one in this house, Honourable Speaker, no one in this house disputes that protecting vulnerable groups and building human capital are national imperatives. But scale and intent must be judged against execution and sustainability. The dominant structural challenge remains the public sector wage bill. The $1.7 billion provided for civil service salary adjustments is politically and unavoidable. Politically unavoidable if we are to maintain morale and stability in health, education and security. Yet this expenditure is overwhelmingly consumption-oriented. It delivers short-term relief but generates almost no multiplier effect toward future growth. Total operational spending now surpasses $80 billion, accounting for more than 75% of the $106.1 billion budget envelope. Developmental spending, by contrast, is squeezed to the point of stagnation. Consider what this means in practice. We can continue to remunerate teachers, nurses and police officers, an ethical and practical necessity, but the fiscal arithmetic increasingly prevents us from constructing the modern schools, equipping the clinics, or maintaining the roads these professionals need to deliver effective services. This is not prudence. It is a creeping hollowing out of capacity. Honourable Speaker, over time, it risks well-intentioned social commitments into under-resourced promises that erode public trust. On the revenue side, the picture is equally concerning. Total revenue is now projected at $89.6 billion, a downward adjustment driven by mining sector weakness. Corporate tax receipts have declined, reflecting commodity price softness with production disruptions. Individual income tax, $19.1 billion, and SACU receipts, $24.3 billion, remain the largest contributors, but both expose us as a country to narrow bases and external volatility. SACU receipts in particular are vulnerable to regional economic fluctuations and trade policy shifts beyond our control. The greatest threat, Honourable Speaker, however, is the accelerating debt servicing burden, the interest cost trap. Interest payments are forecast to reach $16.2 billion in the financial year 2026-2027, equivalent to 17.7% of total revenue, up sharply from 14.3 billion, 16.4% the previous year. Public debt stands at 65.2% of GDP, with 27% held in short-term treasury bills that must be rolled over frequently and at potentially higher rates. Recent liquidity pressures, the 12.9 billion euro bond maturity and the 2 billion IMF rapid financing instrument repayment have already strained reserves and forced fiscal trade-offs. This is a classic pincer movement. Revenues under pressure from below while debt costs rise relentlessly from above. The result is a shrinking fiscal space that leaves little capacity for counter-cyclical measures, infrastructure renewal, or private sector stimuli. Every additional dollar paid in interest is a dollar unavailable for classrooms, is a dollar unavailable for clinics or job-creating projects. Left unchecked, this trajectory risks locking Namibia into a cycle of stagnation where social spending becomes maintenance rather than transformation. The procedural challenges that delay decisions in this House are symptomatic of broader policy misalignment and institutional strain. These are not isolated incidents. They reflect the difficulty of forging consensus when tough choices must be made between immediate demands and long-term viability. To reverse this path, we need decisive governance-led action rather than incremental tweaks. Several priority reforms stand out. The first is the Special Economic Zones Framework, which must be finalized immediately. The second is the VAT modernization, which has long been overdue. And third, accelerated capital allowances and investment incentives, which should be deployed to stimulate private sector capital formation, particularly in manufacturing, renewable energy, and value-added processing. The fifth, with a development ceiling constraint, profitable SOEs must shoulder more infrastructure responsibility. The recent return to profitability by the NHG provides a narrow but real opportunity to channel budgetary resources into housing, water and logistics projects. Honourable Speaker, this appropriation bill reflects a government under severe strain, attempting to reconcile pressing social needs with weakening fundamentals. The social allocations show awareness of our people's hardships, yet the structural rigidities wage bill dominance, interest payments consuming nearly 18% of revenue, revenue fragility, and delayed reforms point to a budget tilted toward short-term maintenance rather than the structural transformation required for sustainable prosperity. History reminds us, Honourable Speaker, that fiscal discipline is not an enemy of social progress. It is its precondition. Countries that have escaped similar traps did so by confronting rigid expenditures, broadening revenue bases, and providing policy certainty to investors. Namibia, our country, has immense potential in resources, in people, in strategic location. But potential alone does not pay salaries, it does not service debt, nor build schools. As we move forward to Honourable Speaker, I put to you, Honourable Members, one urgent and unavoidable question. Given the suffocating weight of debt servicing that now claims nearly 18% of revenue and a wage bill that consumes the fiscal space needed for capital formation and sustainable growth, will this Parliament rise to demand and enforce the governance reforms, expenditure discipline, and policy certainty required to safeguard our social commitments for the long term? Or will we permit short-term consumption pressures to compromise the prosperity and dignity of generations yet to come? I so submit over the speaker. Honourable Members, the House will now rise.
Yeah, that was Ina Hengari from PDM. It's one of the youth parliamentarians. But you can call her a veteran now because she has been, it's the second term now here in Parliament. But the main point of her speech was looking at why are we busy solving short-term, social problems over long-term transformation. And one of the things that she has raised is the aspect of, Namibia having potential, but having potential does not pay the bills. And also the aspect of, understanding and respecting, social allocation, but, it's weakening of fundamentals to say, you are more focusing on solving immediate problems, but in terms of long term. And her speech was more on economics, was more on revenue, and was more on spending, to say we may depend more on SACU revenue collection, but that is not sustainable, because the SACU revenue collection depends on the performance of the trade, and also depends on the performance of other countries such as South Africa. And in the situation where you have South Africa playing between bigger players, anything can happen, especially that can impact the trade. If you South Africa have a new minister of finance, or as a new minister of trade, who does not share the common policies that has been there, it would definitely affect us. But that was the content of the speech, and also indicating that increasing the salaries of teachers and nurses and police, it looks like a just thing to do, but it's not a multiplying effect. To say, somebody was speaking to one retired fisherman who indicated to me to say, man, guys, we have been contributing to this economy. Why do people give money to teachers and police officers? That was just his question. But I'm saying, no, these guys, they contribute to the economy, but there is no tangibility over that. I said, no, for you to have an economy, you need security. For you to have an economy, you need the workforce, which is being produced by teachers. But what is a direct multiplying effect that you cannot see? Because she is more focusing on social concern of our government, which looks like a just thing to do. But if you just have to think correctly and say, if we have to maintain the budget appropriation bill or the budget itself to be like this, let me say, for the next 5 years, are we going to move anywhere? We are not going to move anywhere, because we are still defending. We are defending. We are not attacking. We are not expanding. We are playing a defense to say, poverty, come here, I press you here. Economy is moving this side, I subsidize you here. The debt is expanding, I go and borrow and service the debts. Having potential but not utilizing that potential, that was the contribution. Let us look at what Michael Mashindange has to say. It's a youth parliamentarian from IPC. It's a spokesperson of IPC Youth League, I think. Let us look at what he has to say also, especially regarding his contribution to National Appropriation Bill.
In the sober assessment,
to look at what Michael has to say. Because today we are asking a question to say, youth parliamentarian.
Now the next speaker is Honorable Mashindange.
Thank you very much, Honorable Speaker, Honorable Members of Parliament. I rise to respond to the 2026-2027 national budget tabled in this house by the Honourable Minister of Finance under the theme People, Productivity and Prudence. While we acknowledge the inherent challenges facing our economy, particularly in the context of global slowdown and subdued revenue performance, our critique is grounded in the sober assessment of the trajectory this budget sets for youth unemployment, economic growth, inequality, and the future of Namibia's productive capacity. I want to state unequivocally, Namibia's youth unemployment crisis is one of the most profound socio-economic threats to our nation. Young Namibians, many educated, skilled and eager to contribute, are confronted with an economy that offers them little prospect of meaningful employment. This is not an abstract, Honorable Speaker. This is the painful realities facing families and our young people in particular and across the country. Despite rhetoric, the budget before us failed to set out a credible plan to meaningfully produce, to meaningfully reduce unemployment among our youth. While there may be allocations for job creation in initiatives in some sectors,
care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Our framework reflects a prioritization of recurring operational expenditure for recycling the only available jobs in the market over the strategic investments that should generate new jobs. This budget is going towards operations with about 81.3 billion allocated to operational expenditure and only approximately 6.5 billion which is earmarked for development expenditure. This distribution fundamentally undermines our ability to stimulate the economy and create employment opportunities, particularly for our youth. Development spending is severely constrained, reducing the scope for job-creating infrastructure, project and capital investments that could stimulate broad-based employment. Interest payment continues to crowd out productive investments, with interest costs now exceeding 14 billion Namibian dollars, with our debt exceeding 175 billion Namibian dollars, equivalent to more than 65% of our GDP. A clear warning sign that our fiscal strategy is failing to prioritize and lacks prudence. The minister has projected a modest improvement in economic growth to around 3.1% in the 2026-2027 fiscal year. While any upward revision is welcomed, this growth rate remains worrisome, inadequate to absorb the thousands of young Namibians entering the job market annually. A fundamental principle of macroeconomic policy, Honorable Speaker, is that growth must be inclusive and employment intensive. However, this budget structure is skewed towards maintenance, costs, and lower capital outlays. It cannot generate the rapid expansion of productive capacity required to reduce unemployment substantively. Growth that does not translate into jobs is growth without impact. Honorable Speaker, Honorable Members, a budget that prioritizes salaries, administrative costs and operational maintenance over productive infrastructure and economic diversification fails to address the structural weakness of our economy. The development budget has been stagnated, reducing funding for transformative projects in sectors such as agriculture, transport and logistics, and energy, sectors with significant multiple effects on employment. There is minimal focus on affordable housing, rural electrification, railway rehabilitation, and digital infrastructure, all of which underpin private sector growth and job creation. With the Kavango West and East with the highest unemployment, followed by Ohangwena and the Zambezi region. This pattern shows a short-term fiscal mindset rather than a strategic investment plan. It is one thing to balance books, Honorable Members, and quite another thing to balance and secure the future of the people of Namibia. The budget documents make passing reference to the youth employment and entrepreneurship, but this lacks skills, coordination and adequate financing. Partnership with the private sector for apprenticeship and skills development, tax rebates and regulatory support for small and medium medium-sized enterprises, this program risks being symbolic rather than transformative. The young people want to see the budget reflected in real jobs, access to markets and support mechanisms that equip them for the economy of tomorrow, not handout NABU members, or minor funding windows, but jobs, so that they actively contribute to the economy. NABU speaker, NABU members, the youth of this country, particularly those in schools, were told during the campaigns that fees will fall. It did not end there. Her Excellency the President even told Parliament on the 3rd of February this year that fees have fallen. After these promises, fees will fall later, changed to subsidized education. In my many years of experience as a national student leader, I have seen how lecturer halls start with 100 students in February, only to end up with 50 students the following year. These dropouts have been caused by lack of finances most of the time. Even when students used to get non-tuition fees to help themselves with taxi fares, accommodation and cosmetics, we have just embarked on a painful journey of enlarging inequality with the stopping of or reduction of that non-tuition fees, or refunds as they call it. The university halls are full to the capacity as I address this house today. As we speak, they are full. But let us go there this time next year. We will find them empty because one, the government of the day have three UNAM campuses in Windhoek, but none. But you know what?
Yes.
None of these campuses are in Katutura. So,
point of privilege, Honorable Mashindange. What is the point, Honorable Member?
I am very surprised. Thank you, Honorable Speaker, for the floor. Honorable Nekongo is just raising a manifesto of SWAPO here. While the person is on the floor,
he is
putting it up in protest of what my Honorable Mashingange is speaking about.
Yes, Honorable Member, please take your seat. Honorable Mashingange, take the floor. Honorable Izazi, please take your seat.
Honorable Speaker, as I was saying, the government of the day have three UNAM campuses, and none of these campuses are in Katutura, where majority of our students are coming from. What a betrayal. Where do you expect these students to get daily taxi money, rental fees and meals from, for them to attend lectures and stay in universities? Honorable members, we should agree that if this is the modus operandi, only children from well-off houses and backgrounds will be graduating going forward. Those growing up as vulnerable and orphans like myself will end up in the streets, go back to the villages to sell tombo with their parents, go to begging, stealing and selling of their bodies to make a living. Even after passing AS, Honorable Speaker, these are not just statements. They are realities. They might just appear untrue to some of us because they are not our lived experiences or situations.
They don't know.
At Onaisati, next to Onambutu village, you know, Hangwena region, there lives a young man by the name Sam Jipwete. This young man defied all odds and passed with 3 A-stars at AS 2 years ago. After I learned that he did not register in any university last year, I took him to NAST Enana campus in January this year to register for a Bachelor of Architecture. But we found the program full already. I then proceeded with him to the UNAM Jose Eduardo dos Santos campus in Ongwediva, where he successfully registered for a Bachelor of Civil Engineering. Registration was for free, which is commendable. We were both excited as we were driving back to the village, and I kept
time
calling
is up, honorable.
But I was wrongly interrupted.
Yeah, time is up. Now, because of that interruption, 2 minutes. No, honorable members, let's not interrupt. 2 minutes.
Thank you very much.
And there will be no point of order, no point of privilege anymore.
Yeah. So as we were driving to the village, I kept calling him engineer. Upon reaching home, we broke the good news to the parents. And they were excited for a very short time until I told them that the young men will need a room to stay in Ongwediva. At least a sleeping mattress, a pot, and one plate for him to start classes. The pensioners told me that they are willing to help, but they just cannot, since the only room we got available was costing $1,000 per month. As I sat there with Jonas, with eyes full of tears, I was ready to step in that very moment. But reality quickly told me of the number of cousins, nieces and nephews that my grandparents left in my care after their untimely departure in October and November last year. May their loving and strong souls rest in peace. Honorable Speaker, honorable members, because non-tuition fee has been promised but remained inaccessible to him and many other students, Sam could not go to Ongwediva Unam Jets campus. Neither could he start classes because of lack of money. As I speak to you today, Sam gave up his studies and now is in window to look for any type of a job. These are the harsh realities that our young people are going through across the country, caused by uncalculated promises and uncosted policies. We do not dispute the importance of fiscal discipline. Indeed, responsible management of debt and adherence to macro stability are prerequisites for long-term prosperity. As I conclude, we respect the technical effort that has gone into crafting this budget. The IPC cannot support a fiscal plan that fails to confront unemployment and stimulate economic growth.
Okay, time is up, honourable member. Please take your seat, honourable Aupindi. No point of order, no point of privilege.
Yeah, that is one of the youth parliamentarians. It's Michael Mashindange from IPC. That was his speech, especially youth and youth-based. And she indicated the aspect of non-tuition fee. But before he looked at the aspect of non-tuition fee, one of the things that he has indicated is the economic growth without impact. To say there's a projection of economic growth, but economic growth alone without impact is nothing. And also indicated that although there is technical effort in drafting of budget appropriation bill, there is less given, particularly to expansion of opportunities and also particularly to young people. And the reality of young people is very true. To say even if you pass, even if you register to go to university, even if you get a place to stay in a certain town, the reality is still tough, the daily reality. That's why I agree with him, especially the aspect of non-tuition fee. You know, you find non-tuition fee given after 7 months, after a person has already suffered. Some people, they quit. And look at this and just compare. I used to be shocked. You know, when you go to university for the first time, you are a first year, then you see somebody having a student number of maybe 2 to 3 years ago, and you're asking yourself to say, are you a first year? Are you a fourth year in your first year, or what happened? But when you start to grow, when you start going through university, you start understanding that some people, they quit and come back after they receive some money. They quit and come back. Some, they drop out and come back. Some, the reality just hit. And some, they go until the fourth year, then the person just decided to say, I'm very tired. There is nobody who can support me. That is a reality. It's not only about the guy who he spoke about passing. Even you and me understand that there's somebody who have passed grade 12 or AS level with good points, but this person cannot able to go to university. But that is a reality on the ground, and that issue need to be addressed, particularly with non-tuition fee. But it's a very good thing that young people are bringing about this thing, and should not only for the sake of speaking about them. That should be the conversation, because any bill communicated, young people must stand together and speak about, you know, what they are going through, because we are together in bus, we are together in the club, we are together at the sport field, we are together at universities. When you go to parliament, do the same thing, because that is where the young people are, you know, what they are going through. And it's not only about university thing that he has spoken about. We have seen that young people, when things get tough, they start hustling. I was feeling very painful to hear one of the musicians end up hustling to that extent of pickpocketing and running away with people's phones, which teach you a lot to say, even that of who you think has more money. The situation is very tough. And the ladies, they start hustling differently. Some people end up selling their bodies. And people can just see. And it's in Namibia now, people look at it, it's like no maoi. People, they are not saying I'm selling. They give you indication that this money that they want, and it's a situation that they are going through. And it's a degeneration, really. That is why agent programs that are looking at opportunity creation, and also before the young and energetic young people do not give up, really need to be addressed immediately and on time. Unlike indicating to say everything is fine, unlike indicating to say we are doing our best, it's not about doing the best, it's about solving the problem. But that is the reality. So let us listen to the youngest parliamentarian, that is Fenito Chavi, and her contribution to the national budget appropriation bill, particularly looking at that context.
Camera.
Your time is
speaker. Camera.
Honorable Speaker, honorable members, permit me to add my voice on behalf of the 71.1% young Namibians to the appropriation bill before this House for consideration. I am pleased to note that the social sector, education, health, safety, social safety nets, and youth empowerment received an allocation of 61.7% of the total budget, excluding interest payments. That's about 54.3 billion of the allocation. It is commendable that the government continues to commit to giving people a decent livelihood, which signals solidifying the social contract with the Namibian people. Indeed, a job well done, Honourable Minister. However, Honourable Speaker, it should be noted that the development allocation must be sustained adequately to ensure that it complements our need to build roads, clinics, schools, feeder roads, as well as earth dams, boreholes for the Namibian people. Honourable Speaker, whilst the areas that I mentioned earlier are crucial in ensuring human dignity, there remains an imperative need to ensure that the rural electrification program and the informal settlement upgrading program benefits from a faster traction to address the need of housing. But at the very heart of it, Honourable Speaker, remains the need to expedite servicing and development.
Indeed.
I say this without sidelining the invested 721 million, which resulted in the construction of 2,100 houses and the creation of 17,000 jobs, which, Honourable Speaker, is a step in the direction of mitigating the unemployment crisis, which persists and keeps our president up at night. Honourable Speaker, honourable members, whilst I appeal in addressing the high unemployment through student and graduate internships, I wish to submit through you, honourable Speaker, that in this new fiscal year, all I repeat, all officers, ministers, and agencies roll out this directive with great efficiency, as demonstrated by the Office of the Right Honourable Prime Minister and subsequent to the directive that was issued by the line Honourable Minister of Finance. Yes. Still on the same topic, Honourable Speaker, in the 2024-2025 financial year, the government introduced a tax legislation for youth internships for the private sector, where they can employ the youth and the government can bear 50% youth of costs. Thus I request the line Ministry of Finance to ensure that Namla recap on the outcome of the private sector legislation program continues, with a clear indication of who applied, who did not apply, and for those who did not apply, why did they not do so. In the same vein, Honourable Speaker, let corporate social responsibility be extended to ensuring that youth unemployment does not take precedence. The current unemployment rate requires young people to be hired in big numbers, but not only hire by internships, however, to assimilate into the workforce. Equally so, Honourable Speaker, allow me to submit a site recommendation to the Honourable Minister of Justice and Labour to develop a stringent national regulatory policy around state and private internships to mitigate the exploitation of youth, Honourable Minister. Honourable Speaker, Honourable Minister of Finance, we wish to see more emphasis on the budget around key essentials that help fight the cost of living, or rather, let me say, the inflation rate. On key goods such as basic groceries, be it sugar, oil, maize meal, packaged mahangu, and zero ratings on sanitary pads. Honourable Minister, these are essentials which remain vital commodities for human livelihood. And therefore, we cannot use them as deliberate means of state revenue collection. Honourable Speaker, Honourable Members, the National Youth Development Fund, given its structure and allocation, it is very important that we receive a fully fledged report since its inception. I think it would interest the House how the DFIs are managing the loans and the grants themselves, or are they subcontracting? And if they are, how does that look like from those lands? I also commend the logic behind every young Namibian being able to wake up any day to apply for the National Youth Development Fund. The National Youth Development Fund should reduce its working days for the review process equally, Honourable Minister. Therefore, there remains a need to collapse the stringent measures which serve as barriers for young people to access funding. At this particular juncture, I call upon the Ministry of Finance to finalize the marketing, communication and visibility initiative that was run through a competition last year, as well as the development of the database. I believe that the database will serve as a great point of case study for young people to access information, and we can use this to keep track of the impact and evaluation which I earlier alluded to, so that we strengthen the visibility of the National Youth Development Fund. I should be able to tell how many young people from Kabe South have applied and benefited from the National Youth Development Fund. A young person in Kaukoland must know what the National Youth Development Fund aims to achieve, and a young person in Mudangilo constituency, a youth in Epalela, a youth in Erber, Ibion, Tess, Arwa, Oshifo, and the information. Honourable Speaker, the Public Procurement Amendment Bill, I'm primarily happy, Honourable Minister, that this bill is underway, because the current gaps have escalated bureaucracy to a greater extent, and it has stolen the needs and expectations of the Namibian people. It is unconventional that a light bulb needed in Kwaggafontein has to go through rigorous channels for it to reach its designated area. While we look at this amendment, Honourable Speaker, may we look into decentralization of procurement with, of course, clear accountability framework, which will serve to strengthen regulation of human behavior whilst to administering public procurement. I further welcome the e-commerce initiative by as established, of course, Honorable Speaker. While NAMRA is looking at this smooth operational measures, NAMRA should consider relooking its tax rates, which have resulted in many SMEs to be unable to accumulate their much warranted interest. Honorable Speaker, Vote Sports Youth and National Service received an allocation of 750 million and over the MTF 83.6 billion. I wish to say that just the other day we celebrated brave gladiators for their victory. May that win be a clear reminder of the level of investment required for the sports industry. Honorable Speaker, as I retreat back to my seat, allow me to commend the Honorable Minister of Finance for the timely tabling of this appropriation bill for consideration, a bill which seeks to complement the political will of this government by investing in the human capital of the public sector, which remains the cornerstone of public service delivery, the mandate of any state. Well intended, Honorable Minister.
We are moving forward. That was Feni Tuchavi. She is requesting the Minister of Finance to produce a report, especially on the utilization of the youth fund, and also to see to what extent is the youth fund is utilized, and also what are they doing, those who get benefits. Are they subcontracting? If they are subcontracting, where are they? And it's also touch on the aspect of sport. And also the celebration of Brave Gladiator. Nobody who was not happy when people such as Emiri Gonda and also Coleman, and you also speak about Namibia and the Katuta them when they put down Banyana Banyana, when they took down Banyana Banyana and win the COSAFA champions trophy. Nobody was not happy, especially in Namibia. And the other thing that is an indication what the state is that should be a reminder of the investment needed in that sector. But that is a contribution of young people to parliamentary discussion and also particularly to the budget appropriation bill. And one must be able to understand that when it comes to youth unemployment and also lack of, or not really to say lack, but to say slow economic growth, that is a commonality of all youth parliamentarians. And also the issue of saying the address to the youth unemployment should be central, especially in Namibia. And if it was you, if you were Memeshafuda, what is the better option? What would you do? And your team too, because it's not only her budget, it's a budget of everybody. What is the better option to distribute that over $100 billion? What is the better option? Are you going to focus on the immediate needs? Are you going to focus on the long term? And if you are focusing on the long term, how are you going to survive those steps to reach that? And it's very difficult, especially looking at those who have to distribute, because it is a defense of finance. You have to defense the budget that you are putting out there. But looking at the budget, my contribution is only to say ACC must get money, and also to say expansion and the reporting, because money distribution is not a problem. The problem is reporting. The problem is accountability. The problem is, reporting on what you have used money previously. You know, my colleague Dwight and Helmut were looking at the Auditor's General report, and, they start laughing. Particularly when the numbers are not numbering. I don't have a problem with the budget. I only have a problem with when you say something, then tomorrow when you come, you report 2% of what you have said. What about others? Because we speak more on what we do, but we don't look at ourselves. What have we done? What did we do? Because if we look more on accountability, if we look more on, this is the billions are invested in, health. This is the outcome. This is the money which was lost. And, this is what we have done when that money was lost. This is what we are going to do differently. But just say spend, and we're going to spend again next year. It's not correct. Let us look at ShopRite and come back.
ShopRite's price rounddown is here for 1 week only, where saving is winning. Save up to 40% on homeware, small appliances, outdoor and groceries. Like 20-liter Essentials black or white manual microwave oven, only $800 Namibian each. And 12-piece Spring Flower or Finesse white dinner set for only $199 Namibian per set. Offers valid until 15 March 2026. Only at ShopRite.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to $9,000 to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yeah, you can contribute to the conversation at 083-288-401 or 83-288-401 to say what is your view, particularly youth and contribution also to the national budget appropriation bill. And also, what point do you think need further address? What point do you think need further scrutiny, especially when it comes to the budget appropriation bill? Do you know how much money is spent to the Ministry of Education? Do you know how much money is spent on defense? Do you know how much money is spent on job creation? And do you know how much money is spent on, operation? And also, if you speak about want to develop, the question should always be, if you want to develop, why your development budget is very, very small compared to your operational budget? If you want to industrialize, what is your investment in infrastructure? What is your investment in industrialization? What is your investment in information communication technology? What is your investment in robotics? Because we speak about industrialization, then you defend. Because it's one thing to speak about industrialization, but you focus more on social affairs. And this is the other thing also to understand when to balance. Because social affairs, he said, is an economic defensive mode, which is not a problem. But we need really to find a way to say, when are you going to put on gear 5? Because we are still at gear 1 and 2. From 1990 to where we are now. I think from 2009 to 2011, we are about to go to gear 3. But we are still at gear 1 and 2. One start, move to start, and balancing. We are not yet moving. We are just defending. But it's a situation. It's a situation that we have to deal with, all of us. That's why we should not only look at Meme Shafuda. Meme Shafuda did her part. She applied prudency. She just came to the office. And she needed your assistance too. And also for you to be honest, because she will not run and collect tax herself. She needs a credible number, which is really credible. And she also needs an honest public sector, so that we can not only collect money and pay tax, but also advise on developmental affairs. And report correctly, not to cook numbers, but report correctly. Good morning.
Morning, Dave.
Yes, how you say?
Fine, thank you.
I'm good.
When people are making the wah-wah-wah-wah in parliament during the youth parliamentarians, defending their views.
May you please speak up? I'm not hearing you properly.
What I'm saying is that when people are making some kind of noise during the presentation of the junior parliamentarian.
Is it a noise for supporting?
That's what I want to know now.
Yeah.
Is it the noise supporting or obstructing?
No,
or
it's supporting.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's good.
It's drama roll.
they are all presenting.
Yeah.
Just that they are somehow opposing to each other.
Okay.
Which is in line, which is in order.
Yeah.
But then the sustainability.
Yeah.
Sustainable development.
Mm-hmm.
If you are to meet the need of the present.
Yeah.
And they're looking at also the way of meeting the future need.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine.
It's fine. When it's fine, it's not good, right?
Yeah, maybe it could be good. Let me use the word good.
Mm.
I don't know whether that one is has got more weight.
Mm.
But what I'm hearing there, I'm just encouraged by the courage that those youth have.
Mm.
And they can see that if they are groomed in that order,
mm.
I think we are going to have a sustainable and a sustainable way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other issue that I want to add, maybe the issue of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really, because many a times even if those youth who have got maybe who are eligible to apply for those funds, if it's still in existence, like I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the facilitation and to help them
mm-hmm.
to really manage
mm-hmm.
those funds sustainably, maybe that's where my concern is. I'm not so sure whether there are really mentorship programs to see that to so that they cannot at least squander the money.
Yeah, because Feni is asking for the report from the minister to say we want the report to say how is the youth fund and what are they doing? Are they subcontracting? If they are subcontracting, where are they standing?
Yes. In fact, that is my also concern.
Hmm.
Not that when they get the funds,
mm-hmm.
Unlike those who have registered business, maybe they just register and get the funds, and maybe contracting other people.
Yeah.
If they are contracting those people to mentor them and help them, the management skills, that one could be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are to give out their rights and the things like that, that's where the problem comes in.
That's where the problem comes in.
Yes. So because they might just do this the same thing that when they register their company, that behind there, they are not the rightful owner. Maybe they are rightful owner, but the benefits does not come to in their way, does not benefit them.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think young people, young parliamentarians need to focus more on? What do you think, where do you think they are agreeing and where do you think they need to focus more on?
No. What they are saying is fine, where there might be students who are still outside the line
mm-hmm.
of funding.
Mm-hmm.
If there are those areas and the barriers that are preventing them, like you say, some of them give up and later they come and things like that. What are those things that are really discouraging them or hindering them or giving them so that they are giving up hope?
Mm.
So maybe that's just an encouragement that yes, you don't just give up hope.
Yeah.
But if there are still funds existing there, youth can also be motivated. They must motivate others. Because many other people, when benefits are being announced and things like that are coming in, many a times they just go. Maybe in your CIFO or poor, maybe information
mm-hmm.
not reaching them. So then information, if the information is not reaching them, you will find them on the west side. They might not be able to get in there because of lack of information. But if there are people who are really disseminating the information to the youth and really going out there, even those who are disposing the funds, they should be able to undertake some kind of mission and really give information to the people. So where they are, because if you don't take those opportunities to where people are, it will still be, you know, the same thing. But if you take the information and empower them with the information and encourage them, give them some kind of tangible hope, I think they can take up those opportunities.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. It's 40 minutes past the hour of 7. And we'll be able to look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. What is in the Villager newspaper for today? Especially looking at Wednesday. To say, if you look on top of the Villager newspaper for today, you'll be able to get the economic content, especially regarding energy. Energy grows housing loan book. Basankwasa want more houses. James Ankwasa, the Minister of Urban and Rural Development, he says he wants more houses built by NHG. You can only get that content from the Villager newspaper. Read the top of the page of the Villager newspaper. Then from there, you will be able to get the content. And stated that in view of this small pace, of housing provision against housing target set by the government, we have a lot of work to do regarding this extreme low outputs. To say the output is there, but it's low. That's why the pace matters. The pace matters because if you create, for example, 1,000 jobs in a year, and you are telling people that, no, guys, we created a job, we have this project. Yes, you did. But is that in line with the pace? Because people are getting old. People, their skills, the skills go unutilized. They start losing value. If you have a hundred of thousand of unemployed young people, and you are saying, I'm creating 1,000 jobs in a year. Yes, we are thankful you are creating 1,000 jobs. But is that the pace? Is the pace corresponding? Because by the time you create 50,000, then you have 5 million people who are not employed. Because it's numbers and time. People are running against time. That's why even the budget, the current ratio you are speaking, if the budget appropriation bill, this one that we have was tabled, let me say, in 2011, it will be the best budget ever. But because of being behind with tasks, it's going to be very difficult. Even the progress will be seen like not a progress because, you know, nobody who with the right mind can say the government did not do anything for the past 36 years. But it may look like it's not doing anything because of the pace. Yeah, that's why even here when it comes to housing, to say at this pace against the target, we need to do more. Even when houses are being built, if they are against the highest demand of houses, then it looks like nothing. People end up saying we did not see, even if there are those who benefit. That is the content. So you look at page 3. There's an article on Africa Import and Export Bank that is elevated by Global Credit Ratings. And they've been speaking about credit rating systems. They've been speaking about foreign credit ratings. And I think this one is a genuine credit ratings by Global Credit Ratings, particularly when it comes to Africa Import and Export Bank. And you must also be able to understand that Namibia has also improved in terms of ranking, in terms of rating, especially when it's coming to credit worthiness and also ability also to be given credit, because investors and traders, when they want to come to your country, they look at a lot of things, rankings, and also the strength of your institution, and also are you qualified to get money at what level, what strength is your financial system, and you can also be able to get that content. So if you come to page 4, then you see that celebration of the 36 years of Namibia independence by Woman Block at an understandable price, where you'll be able to buy your products. It's here. Let's look at top score.
Eshi wataloka umeko embelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo nowe uyakofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paket. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mondo maeveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opo uningo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vili mwe danamibia oshipu nengono landoka shakoko KG mwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe ndeto SMS oshicha instant. Totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi ya fanueli otali kulumo milongo natu nali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano. E mangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Yeah, if you look at page 4, you'll be able to see the sale of Woman Block. You'll be able to buy your real good chicken at $79.99. Be able to buy your Bokomo fat cake wheat flour of 10 kg just at $137. And you'll be able also to get many other products that also include, one is also including Crystal Gold Tomato Sauce of 700 ml at $22.99. And also fresh milk that is 2 liter fresh milk at $40.99. Then you can also have your farmhouse ice cream 1.8 liter kambaki of $44.99 and many other products. So come to read the Villager newspaper, look at page 4, then you'll be able to buy your groceries there. And looking at page 5 is that the media sector under various threats. The media is under various threats. It's an article by Dwight Links that show that new media industry analysis report on the threats of the threats to local Namibian media industry identify various threats in the sector. And that is a new report, especially looking at new media house. We look at legal threats. So look at other threats which are indicated. There is an indication of state media. It's an indication of political influence and other affairs. And you'll be able to get that. That you'll be able to get it from page 5 and get content of that conversation. Page 6, you'll be able to get the content of reserve shield economies from shocks. To say reserves are our defense mechanism. To say even if economy is hit here, we have our reserves. But at what level? At what, what percentage, how much money in those reserves? There's an indication to say reserve shield economies from shocks. That is from International Monetary Fund. And you'll be able to get that content by Matthias Angala from page 6. Moving forward, you'll also be able to get content, especially regarding Canopus Technologies. Local ISP seek to bridge digital divide in Namibia. By HT. And you can be able to get that content when you speak about Kenotech. You'll be able to get that there's local businesses that are bridging the gap. If you want to buy Wi-Fi, if you want to buy your routers, if you want to buy your technological appliances, then you can be able to come to Kenoth Technologies. And for more information, can be able to get those information, especially from page 7, from that aspect. And while we are there, looking at page 8 of our e-paper, looking at industrial briefs, looking at industrial briefs, if you look at industrial briefs, you'll be able to get the content, particularly 22 fishing workers to be absorbed by the four fishing companies. 222 fishing workers to be absorbed by four fishing companies. It was stated that the government is planning to reintegrate 222 fishing workers into four fishing companies with a commitment to increase allocated quotas to support the increased numbers of workers. That is what is happening. And you can also be able to get the tip of City of Windhoek start its 5-year strategy and budget review. You know, City of Windhoek 2022-2027 strategic plan. It's coming to an end. It's currently reviewing the progress and challenges. What have been done, particularly reaching the point of a smart city? What have been done by City of Windhoek, especially within their strategic plan? Diamond outputs rise, gold falls. That is indication, especially looking at our current industrial briefs. Yeah, there's an opinionated paper. There's an opinionated paper at page 9 that is written by Salome Ngoshi. Salome Ngoshi is an economist. Salome Ngoshi is an economist who specializes in fuel market pricing mechanism and also downstream petroleum policy. She works in a downstream petroleum directorate in the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy, and focuses on fuel pricing, petroleum market regulation and energy governance. She has specialized training in oil and gas industry fundamentals. And Salome Ngoshi indicated that behind Namibia fuel price, the state account explained. Behind Namibia fuel prices, the slate account explained. And it's a very interesting opinionated paper, especially coming from the expert, where everybody's speaking about oil and gas, everybody's speaking about oil price, everybody's speaking about war and the impact of Middle East war to oil price. And you do not want to miss out what is in the Villager newspaper for today. If you miss out, then you will be far behind when people are going to enter conversation. If you don't read, you know, the challenges of life is that sometimes there are things that are for free. The government taught you reading and writing, taught you basic literacy, but you don't want to expand that, you don't want to read. But if you read, it will also save you from unnecessary embarrassment and also give you opportunities to, when you find people having a conversation, at least you can say one or two things. Don't just be a person who is saying yani, or who is just saying okay. People are in a conversation. They want your opinion and your idea. They are saying if you want to understand who you are dating, ask a person about what is the meaning of a repo rate. Ask your partner what is the meaning of Namibia repo rate. Not only about the repo rate, just ask anything that you of technical to see, not to challenge a person, just to see if this is a person that you can be able to take forward. This is a person that can be able to save in a time of need, or this is just a person for the time being. Good morning.
Yes, Mr. David.
Yes, how are you?
Good. How is the morning,
Dana? No, the morning is fine. What is your contribution today?
Yes, how are you?
Hello? May I please speak up? I'm not getting you.
Oh, can you hear me now, Mr.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. No, the government has done something since independence. Of course, yeah, there are visible things that the government have take forward. Yeah, no, that one is a due credit, but it also needs to do more, especially when you were talking about unemployment. I think our National Planning Commission also needs to do more because it needs to feed a relevant institution with the data. For instance, when it takes out the census, the demography is very important, especially in planning to our leaders, because
yeah.
It tells you at least by the year 2030,
yeah.
You have at least, it's an estimation, obviously, it's not an accurate thing, but estimation is very important. For instance, to say by the year 2030,
yeah.
You have at least how many people of this age, you have at least these people of this age, these are graduates, they were studying what, and then from there it prioritized the very important industries, especially the food security that I advocate for. Yeah, that one.
So it's about feeding right information.
I'm also getting
it because sometimes even when you look at our labor for survey, we are already late. We're supposed to have real information also on time.
Yeah. Yeah, we need information on time because, and also remember, people have different needs. When you are dealing with people from zero age up to the age of 100 years to say, for instance, the needs of people in the north are not necessarily the needs of the people in urban cities.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's where the government needs proper coordination. So it also prioritizes, which are, in this area, we have people of this age, they need hospitals, and this area is a bit populated. Maybe we need to bring up a university to other areas or so that at least we have a spirit of people that in areas, because for instance, if you look at it now, everyone is just flocking to Windhoek for
universities,
for everything.
Now, I want to get your view just in 1 minute. What is your view on youth parliamentarians today? What do you think is a point that you can take from there, and what do you think they need to emphasize on, especially when they contribute to the budget?
The youth parliamentarian, for now we have educated people in parliament, so
yeah,
to say.
Yeah.
My view is just that they need to take things serious and then at least to correct the previous mistakes. So to say, yeah. All over the political parties, we have most educated people.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
They need to do is they need to stop fighting and just work towards one common goal, whichever, like, in line with our national strategic plan.
So the problems are the same. It's only the flanks which are different.
Yes, the views are different, and it takes a lot. It absorbs a lot of time. Imagine, like in parliament, instead of discussing something concrete for the maybe 1 hour, 30 minutes, it does different views, fighting, and insults, and so on. It's not conducive.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much for your contribution. The caller is speaking about data. Need to be fed with right and timely data, because development is based on data. Development is based on statistics, because you can't have development without investment in Namibia Statistic Agency. And also other think tanks too, to say why Namibia Statistic Agency is looking at bigger things. Why can't you fund those think tanks? Why can't you give money to those research institutions, even research done by university, so that you can get the data, so that can be able to help you with development? And agreeing with the speaker, we have one of the most educated parliament in history. One of the most educated parliament in history. And we have almost all the generation from the first generation. And when we speak about generations in Namibian context, we mostly speak about generation contained in the generation of the liberation struggle. You have the veteran of the struggle. You have the young veteran of the struggle. you have the 80s, you have the 90s, and indeed you have Generation Z. And number 2K, we have everybody there. And that should be a call for action to say, what is making it difficult for us to solve our problem if we have all the generation? We have somebody who was in exile. We have somebody who was who went to exile late. You have the 80s. You have the bone freeze. You have the Z's. And you have 2K. And we must agree that if they are lawmakers, why can't they solve our problems? And from me, David Shombe, that was it for today. And I'll leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. And in this context, we transfer the mic, the big mic in Ondangwa. Bye-bye for now. See you around. Sharp, sharp.